Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to the exclusive consultation portion of this episode. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. I'm Harmony Quiker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists in exploring deeper dimensions in their work with clients. You'll notice that in each episode, my guest therapist stays anonymous. This is to preserve the anonymity of the client they present in our case consultation available on Patreon. In this episode of the Awaken Therapist podcast, I meet with a transpersonal therapist who is passionate about healing all aspects of life. We consult about a case where their client has agoraphobia and a history of sexual abuse. We also share a bit about how we navigate our own personal illnesses as private practice owners. I hope you enjoy this episode. I'd love to know what brought you into the field of transpersonal counseling. Like, how did you even learn about it? How did you arrive here?
I didn't know what it was for a long time. Like, when I wanted to become a therapist, something just didn't feel right about like a traditional program, which probably prolonged this because I'm probably the oldest newly licensed therapist. But somehow I ran across Naropa in the early 90s. I don't know how. I don't remember how. But I remember when I got there, my whole body lit up. And I'm like, I got to go here. I got to do this. But at the time, it just wasn't at all feasible. There wasn't the online program. And so I sort of had to just push that away. Like, it's not going to be for me. And then later, through Daniel, he wrote a book, psychedelic cannabis, psychedelic book. And I'm looking at the book, and in the very back, it said he went to Naropa. And I'm like, there's that place again. So I get on Naropa, and I looked, and they do this online mindfulness transpersonal. And I'm like, I can do this. But I was already 1 year into a traditional program. And my thought was, I'll just get the degree, and then I'll go do what I want. But when I found out Naropa had the online program, I had to scramble, sort of talk my husband into, can I switch programs? You know, that's a lot of money and whatever. And I did. I just did it. And I feel like this was where I was supposed to be from way back. So it was exciting.
That's beautiful. I didn't realize that you had transferred after traditional program experience.
And a whole year extra.
Wow. And you really, it sounds like you really followed your spirit and followed your heart.
I couldn't not. I just felt so compelled and so drawn. I just couldn't not. Being in the other program was okay. And I felt like I'll just get through it. And it just didn't feel good. Naropa just felt right for me.
And now that you're practicing, how is it for you? Does it still light you up?
Totally. Yeah. And you know, every client's different. Every client, you know, has access, a level of access, or some not. It's really exciting just being with the client and not planning a thing, which I think traditional therapists kind of do. And maybe there's sort of an orientation you think you have to ascribe to, and then you have to do those things. I don't really do that. I just try to be with the client.
And when you say that different clients have different access, I believe what you're pointing to is how awareness and the client's level of awareness has such a huge impact on the depths and the potency of this work. And so at some points when we're with a client with a lower level of awareness, who's still clinging to their mind and believes that their mind is truth, that there's a nuance there and a different timeline there and different skill set really of really being present with them as they are without trying to change them and yet still supporting them and increasing awareness.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, our level of awareness too, like increases along with our clients. And so there's really, in my opinion, a strong need for us as clinicians to be like the purest, clearest mirror of reflection, to continually increase our own awareness. And I'm just wondering, do you have practices? Are you still committed to your mindfulness and contemplative practices?
Yeah, I have a pretty steady, consistent meditation practice every morning. So I had been diagnosed with cancer like 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago. But it was at that time I thought, I got to get working on using my mind to heal my body. And of course, Joe Dispenza has all that work. And so I got into that pretty heavily and still am. I had a meditation practice before that, but this is a little bit more intense and purposeful. So I do that every day.
And so really showing up for yourself as you navigated cancer. Yeah. And being a new therapist, did you see clients during that time? Did you take
time
off?
The whole
time. You saw them the whole time.
I never missed a session. But when I did go to out of the country for treatment, I took that time off. But other than that, I didn't take any time off.
Wow. And how are you feeling now? Are you healthy and
yeah,
cancer free?
I think so. Yeah. I'm all my tests and blood work and everything just keeps improving. So yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you
for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I think being a space holder in this field and then navigating our own illness is truly, truly rigorous. You know, it's a rigorous practice.
It is. But I found myself, it was almost like being in the session was a reprieve. So I could use my work to just relax and to be somewhere else.
You know, I love that. I think that there's a misconception that this work is for our clients only. And really, it's a synergistic spiritual practice where it's a relational meditation. We're accessing innate spirituality and innate wisdom in sessions. And it really, when held in a transpersonal way, being a therapist could actually be more self-supportive than depleting. Like there can be more energy rather than burnout.
It feels like if I'm not in a transpersonal container, it's more work. Like it's heavier work and I'm tired. Like I get tired, but when I'm in a transpersonal session with somebody, it's energizing and I feel expanded and uplifted.
I love that so much. I'm just like beaming over here. It's so like, for me, I've been doing this for so long and I still love it every single day. Every single day is just new and enlivening. And I go deeper within myself as my clients go deeper, or my students, or, you know, however it is that I'm doing this work. And it's so affirming of humanity and humanity's capacity to heal and return to wholeness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had only been a therapist for 1 year. And I had thought, if I was at my other job, I don't know that I could have gotten through it. So it's almost like being in those sessions was healing in some ways versus the other position that I had. So yeah, I agree.
When I hear you say that, it occurs in my mind as when we bring healing energy to the planet through our work, that we are healed along with those that we sit with.
Yeah, it's like a transmission. We're transmitting in the session.
And this is the essence of the transpersonal, where there is no other, right? We treat others exactly as we treat ourselves. And like it's so synergistic and cyclical. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before, but I find it so interesting in private practice how it can be hard for therapists to take time off. We don't get paid time off. Like we don't have somebody who can fill in for us when were not well. I don't know if you know this, but I have Meniere's. It's an inner ear disease where I can get vertigo, and it comes on so quickly. Like, I have no warning of cancellation when it comes on. I don't get it as much anymore because I've learned how to manage it. But for a while, I just couldn't function when I would have a Meniere's episode. And really learning how to navigate that side of this work has been such a learning curve, like to honor myself, to honor my clients, and to not push myself, but to show up when I can.
And to manage those feelings of like guilt or I'm letting them down. Yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Something that I was thinking about as I was getting ready to come meet with you today is this idea in Gestalt therapy of an unresolved situation. And when sitting with clients, witnessing the way that they are using a map that they created during a situation that still is unresolved, and they're putting it onto their present moment, but they can't quite see it yet. They can't quite see the way that they're interrupting the present moment by mapping with this old map that at the time was wise when they created it, but really is inhibiting their joy, their aliveness, their embodiment in many ways. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about that, what you've seen with your clients and what you've learned since you've started practicing.
Yeah, I see it a lot, and I didn't see it before. I think before your class. But it is amazing to see it happen in real time. It's like, oh, we were there. You were in contact with it. You were there. And then they just move off, or they go off fast. And I love that I see it. And then what comes up in me is, oh, but let's go back. And I can't do that. You know, you have to, but I'm like, I think because I'm a new therapist, I feel a little bit of frustration. Like when they go off and I'm like, but I'm learning just to be patient and to watch it happen and watch where they go and how they do it. And then I think I'm getting more skilled at just bringing them back as much as they can do. It's kind of like we have, well, you say this all the time, it's the home place. It's the home base, bringing them back there. At least we have some place to go.
Absolutely. Like being able to see when they are in contact with their home base, with the core of their being, and when they leave. Like that's really what a lot of this practice is, like being the witness of that. One of my favorite skills is really to zoom out and to like reflect that map for the client so that they can see the way that they're moving more clearly. I see often with clients, like the moment they see what they're doing, there's this like almost like astonishment with themselves that they've been using this map almost like they can't believe it to some degree. It's one of my favorite moments in therapy where the client's like, oh my gosh, was I projecting that whole time? And they can see it for themselves. And I'm like, I think so. it's such a sweet, tender moment for me. But then to really like go back in time and see what does need to be resolved internally to feel really complete with that pattern. What does this movement need from them to feel that sense of resolution where they can really arrive within themselves and feel safe to stay home within themselves?
Yeah, that is very exciting. And I love when that happens. You are very skilled at that. And I'm trying to learn to do that, because when you do that, it lights up the session. And I'm working on doing that more and more. I have to deal with all my own stuff during that. And, you know, and like we said earlier, like some clients it's easier and some clients it's a little more difficult. And then I think our own energy, we have to monitor that. Like if I'm low energy, I feel more nervous or more, less confident. But when it happens, it's so wonderful. And I just had a client this morning who we are just floating together and we're just together in the whole thing. And it's really exciting.
I appreciate that you said that you need to work with your own stuff as this comes up, because it's so important for therapists to remember. I know I share this story a lot, but when I was a new clinician, I realized how I was preventing my clients' transformation because I was so invested in getting them to like me. And, you know, is my personality. And I've always been a seer. And I've also really been quiet about what I see. Like, I have this thing with my friendships and my husband and my children where I only want to share what I'm seeing if somebody genuinely wants to know. And so a friend can be talking to me about themselves and I could disagree and see it very differently, but I won't share it unless they say, "What do you think?" Because that invitation to me says that their spirit wants to know what I think. And I don't want to impose my ideas onto other people. And so with clients, I've really spent a lot of time creating language that owns what I'm seeing as mine so that my clients don't just start wearing my perception. I want them to be seen by me because my seeing is a gift. It's partly why they're there. I want to know that I'm seeing them accurately and that they see themselves that way too, or if they want to correct something in me, like that it's a collaborative process, that we're learning this together.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because I didn't know how to say what I was seeing tactfully, but listening to you, I feel like I have the lingo, like if that makes sense to me, or I think what I'm seeing is this, what do you notice? So that's helped a lot. Like, I think I have the seeing gift too. I didn't have the words or the tact. So this has been super helpful for me.
You know, we don't want our clients to feel judged by us, right? And so there could be this fear that if I point out this thing that they don't see in themselves yet, and that might be in their shadow or something that they don't like about themselves, that they might feel judged by me. When really, in my opinion, when we can see them as they are, welcome them as they are, reflect them accurately to themselves, they actually feel extremely loved as they are without needing to hide those aspects anymore.
And it's funny because I've had a couple clients go, "You see me, you just see me." And that's like the highest compliment. Yeah, it's so nice.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, it really is the highest compliment. You know, to me, it's a reflection of your contemplative practices too, because that's where you really develop the purest, clearest seeing. The way that I see it is that the place where we project in our mind's eye is also the place where our intuition and clear seeing lives. And so when we have our unresolved, unfinished business blocking our intuitive third eye, instead we see people, but we're projecting our unresolved experiences onto them. It doesn't mean that we're not seeing what they're doing. It just means that it's skewed through this veil of distorted, unresolved business. And so all of that beautiful contemplative practice that you're doing really opens up that clarity.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of goes back to, like, I have to work with myself in these sessions, you know, and stay in my seat, stay in contact with myself. Yeah.
Listening to real-life clinical examples is a wonderful way to increase awareness of how to approach your work from this powerful modality. To listen to the full episode where my guest and I consult about a challenging case, join us on Patreon. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. If you want to learn more about the art of transpersonal counseling, check out the Awakened Therapist Signature Course at thespirituallyaligned.com. This is a go-at-your-own-pace course with non-contact recorded webinars, demos, practices, and PDF handouts where you can learn more about spirituality, consciousness, and subtle energy through the lens of Gestalt therapy. To learn more, check out our trainings at thespirituallyaligned.com and receive your course today sent directly to your inbox.